Hi, everybody. It's Michael Martin. Happy Friday. Thanks for being here. So the last thing we want to talk about is trying to play catch-up. If you are friendly with a lot of traders in there, say they're doing slightly better than you, and you're very, very competitive, again, you're competing with yourself, right? You're not competing with other traders. Where the numbers fall, we talked about this, I think, on Monday. You're going for risk-adjusted returns. You know, going for absolute numbers is an ego play. It's peacocking, which is amateurish and immature. So what you don't want to do is get into that type of mindset. You have to think about what number is comfortable for you based on your behavior, behavior that you can predict, behavior that you can replicate day after day, week after week, and do it consistently. Because it's that consistent behavior that's going to get you the results that you want, results that are based upon goals that you set for yourself, that you got emotionally attached to because you know the impact of what those goals will mean to you if you hit them. And you know what that rate of return is, where you can have all the upside that you want, but know that you still have to sleep, knowing that the market can turn against you, even though you don't want it to, right? So if you're in a spot where you have peers or colleagues who are up 20, 25% or more for the year, or in some cases higher, and you're not there yet, just keep in mind that your job is to have superior risk-adjusted returns. Two, you're really competing with yourself, not with the guy sitting next to you or the gal sitting next to you. To try to play catch-up ball means you can push, and pushing is a situation where you can put yourself in a bad spot because you're acting out of emotion and not acting out of what should be a very methodical setup based on all the science and the math that you're looking at to put yourself in trades that create alpha for you. Now, those, if you're a chart reader, may not be coming as fast as you would need them to. But you also have to say life on life's terms, right? You know, you don't get to decide. Don't start down timing either, because now you're looking at data that's more random, right? And that's not sensible. So you can see what I'm saying here? Once you start getting into like this whole stinking thinking stuff, you can find yourself doing any number of things that are bad for you. It's remarkable. I don't really know of another industry where once your thought process becomes garbage, everything that you do is wrong and it hurts you. It's self-inflicted. It's quite remarkable, actually. And unfortunately, I've had to live through every bloody moment and every instance of doing it, which is why I'm sharing this with you. Most of these scenarios are coming out of my personal experience over 30-something years of doing it. So just realize that you're where you are, you're there for a reason. The best you can do is learn from things that you could have done better and try to systematize it so that it becomes automatic and it becomes instinctual for you. That's a loving thing that you can do for yourself, right? The market's going to morph and try to steal your money and psych you out, right? It is totally the devil sitting on the shoulder. It's not the angel on the other side. And it's hard enough to get the money in the first place. Now, if you're running, you know, big figures, you know that you can't, you know, fighting other institutions because you're dealing with, you know, $200 million account. You always have to think about risk adjusted returns, because to be frank, you can gear your portfolio for anything. That's the easy part, right? Any jackass can gear their portfolio for a big number. The problem is that when it doesn't work out, because we live in a probabilistic world, not a deterministic world, you're just as likely, well, not just as likely, but it is probable that you could lose money and a big percentage if you gear your portfolio too high. So some of you might be sitting back saying, well, we've got 6, 7, 8 weeks left of the year. I'm going to gear my portfolio a little bit more aggressive because I want to get back to where I was before I had the drawdown that started in September 1st. I would say let go of that. It is what it is. And it's the way God wanted it. Well, maybe not. You know, it depends on your belief system. But drawdowns are a part of life if you want to be a pro trader. Two, they can happen at any time, whether it's Q1, Q4, everything in between. So all you can do is follow your rules at that point, you know, regardless of what your numbers are. You know, month to date, year to date, quarter to date, doesn't matter. You can't let that number be the guiding light for how you put your trades on. That's really just the sum total of you putting on trades, you know, behaviorally across a lot of different market environments over the course of 2020, and this is the sum total of the scorecard. You know, all in all, you know, you very likely did well considering. But if you're stuck, and you got stuck, or you took a hit, or you're in a drawdown, you know, guess what? It's part of life. This is where you might want to have rules and say, well, I know what I have a fixed percentage that I'm risking of my capital on any particular trade, and if I hit that number, I'm out. If I hit several of those trades in a row, I'm done for the week. So you can do that by percentage points and or by the number of trades that you lose. You can say, I never want to have a 5% down week. I don't know what the number is for you. It might be 200 basis points. I don't want to be down more than 2% any week. Don't want to be down 5% any week or month, right? I've mentioned it before. Paul Tudor Jones had such a rule. He didn't want to have a down 10% month. So he'd come down, he'd be, say, down 900 basis points for the month. And maybe you only got you still have 2 weeks left of trading. Well, you know, he would massage the numbers and do it in such a way that if he did continue to lose, he still gave himself a lot of room and traded so small as to not breach that thing, because he never wanted to have a minus 10% rate of return on his track record when he was just starting out. And you can do the same thing. Now, you have to temper that stalling and sitting on your hands for another couple of weeks, knowing that you might want to be playing some catch-up ball. Well, just give yourself a moment of pause here and start to think about it. Do you think acting out of emotion with no set plan is going to actually help you trade your way to upside? Right? It probably sounds ridiculous when you say it back to yourself, right? It's probably so obvious, like, no, of course I can't, right? No one acts out of desperation. You know, poker players go on tilt and they lose everything. And then they storm out of the place as if something happened to them. And they did it themselves, right? So don't be that person. Be professional enough to sit on your hands and to step away from the table until you can collect yourself or to kind of get a better idea of what to do coming through the last couple of weeks of the year. You'll have a much better, enjoyable time. You'll keep your wits about you. You won't have regrets and animosity to the market for losing more money, right? And you also give the market some time to breathe and to let all the crap in the world sort itself out. And you're not being stuck in the middle of it trying to be a hero, saying, I predicted this, right? No one cares about predictions. Anyway, it's been hopefully a good week for you, as I know it's a good week for me. If you'd like a copy of the Inner Voice of Trading audiobook to listen to this weekend, go grab a copy at Martin Chronicle. It's on me. Thanks for being here. I'll see you next week.